This morning we will be reading from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 12. But this morning we'll be just looking at the passages at verses 3 through 9. And as we will go through the message, we will be looking at some of the verses, often unannounced, but maybe be helpful to keep the Bible open. But before we do, let us ask the Lord to illuminate His word to us. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for giving us the Bible, your living word. Thank you that through reading it, we can learn more about you and learn to love you more. We pray, Lord, send your spirit to help us understand your word and to help us grow. In Jesus' name, amen. First Peter 1, starting at verse 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation, that it's ready to be revealed in the last time. In this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointed when He predicted the suffering of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even the angels long to look into these things. Thus far, the reading of the word. Inheritance. What is an inheritance? I remember my mother growing up when I was a kid, and my mother complaining about her mother and how cheap they had to live all their lives so that when my grandmother would pass away, there would be an inheritance for her children. Well, my grandmother lived well into her 90s, and there was really nothing left for the children. And so, my mother always said, I will spend it now, for we do not know what the future holds. And besides, she continued, if I run out of money, I can always go to the deacons of the church. What is an inheritance? Is it something that we deserve? Families fight over it while their parents are still on the deathbed. Imagine that, fighting about this while you're around the deathbed of your parents. Is an inheritance something that we feel that we deserve, that it's coming to us? Is it something that's our right? However, when we look at this passage, We also see an inheritance, but we have to leave most of what we know, not all, but most of what we know about inheritance behind. It's not something that we deserve. It's not something that will be spent before someone dies. It's something quite different. So, it's Sunday. And on Sundays, which is the first day of the week, a day that Jesus rose from the dead, let us look at this inheritance. An inheritance is in effect when someone dies. With this inheritance, it is the same thing. The death and the resurrection of Jesus is our assured inheritance of things to come. And therefore, we begin. And the text begins with saying, with a blessing to God, the Father of Jesus Christ, which leads straight into the deserving of this blessing. It is only by His great mercy that we have life. I think that we forget that. Think about the obvious. You had absolutely nothing to say about your birth. Phil Cann, in one of his videos, says, "No one sat in their mother's womb as an egg and said, 'Fertilize me, fertilize me.' It's ridiculous. You were just born." It's the same. It is only by God's great mercy that you're His child. There's nothing that you have done that would make you more of His child or less of His child. You are His child. This is by His great mercy. So sorry, if you thought you deserved to be in the family of God, you do not. Sorry, if you think coming to church on Sunday morning to worship as something good that you're doing so that it would secure up your salvation, doesn't work that way. The only way, the only reason that you are here this morning is to worship, whether you know it or not. You're here to honor. You're to praise His name, to give Him honor and glory. It is in His great mercy and nothing else that you have received this new birth. Jesus talks about that also in John 3, verse 118, which we read, and talks about this Pharisee. See, now we read from that passage, and now there was a Pharisee, and his name was Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi," or teacher, "we know that you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after have grown old? Can one enter the second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I tell you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is everyone who is born of the Spirit." End of quote. You have been given new birth. If you're a child of God, you're born again by the Spirit. But how does this work? Well, we do not know. Just like the passage in John says, it's like the wind. It comes and goes, and we do not always know where it comes or where it goes, how it goes, how it comes, where. And therefore, the text continues to say that you are born into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So being born again is only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it is the only living hope that we have, really. That is the only hope that we truly have. Stop. Think about that for a moment. What hope do you have? When I say hope, I mean hope that is like assurance that it will definitely happen. That's living hope. Not just some pipe dream, but true living hope that will happen each and every time. You're expecting a healthy baby. Your children will be children of the Lord. Your paycheck will come in the bank account before the day is over. You will be able to walk tomorrow. Your car will start. Your husband will treat you well, and so on. These are nothing more than dreams that we have. You don't know any of these for sure. But there's one thing that we do know for sure. It's much greater than any dead hope that we have on this earth. It is only and only by the great mercy of our Father in heaven that we are given new birth into a living hope. This is accomplished through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. When I was a young child, my dad told me what his dad told me. And what my grandfather said to my father is, "My passport is signed and sealed by the blood of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." There is only one true inheritance, and that is given to you with no conditions of who you are. And this is accomplished by the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to us only because of His great mercy. Praise God for His great love. But where is this inheritance? How do we know it will last? Can we completely describe it? Well, we can't completely describe it because we are so limited, but there are a few things that we know that we can say. There's a few things we know that it's not. First, this inheritance is not perishable. This means it cannot be destroyed by anyone. No matter what the devil does or the lies he tells you, this inheritance will not perish. It will always be there for you. Second, this inheritance is undefiled, which means that it's not polluted by anything that is not holy. This inheritance is pure. Third, this inheritance is unfading, means that it will not change or decay. It's not like the flower that brings forth beauty only for a short time. This inheritance will never see any change. Now compare these three points with an earthly inheritance. How often is our earthly inheritance perishable? That means trickery. Someone else takes it away from us. Or often of our earthly inheritance defiled by family breakup? Or how quickly can our earthly inheritance just kind of fade away and no one remembers of what was inherited? The inheritance that you have in Jesus Christ is kept in heaven for you. But is it safe? Like really safe? I'm not talking about safe from neighbor, but safe from the devil. The text says that God Himself is protecting this inheritance. The text does not say that God is protecting us from physical harm or stupidity or even people inflicting us with unjust infliction. But our only true inheritance is being protected by the power of God. The great power of God is protecting our inheritance. What greater protection is there than that? We have this assurance. That is why we know this living hope is not just a maybe, but a for sure. This protection is through faith that we have in our God. So our faith, even so small as a mustard seed, will, through the power of God, protect the living inheritance, the faith you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. But when will we get this inheritance? Can we have it now? Like, why not? Can we get it ahead of time? We ask that question because that is what it seems that Peter is kind of stating, maybe. Because it says, for the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. The operative word that we need to look at is revealed. In other words, the inheritance is already there. It's already here. But is it revealed or not? We don't see it fully, even though we already have it. It's already ours. But at the last times, all will see, but only those who have faith in Jesus will inherit it. How does this all work? People speculate. Theologians write books on it. People argue about it, but the text says that it will be revealed at the last time. So in other words, not to pop your bubble, but you and I, we don't know. We will all see, and we will all know at the last time. So don't worry about it. So let us rejoice today. Let us sing our praises to God. There is nothing more secure in all the world that our salvation is sealed in the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his resurrection. And it's secured in heaven. There's no great villain that can take it away. But life is hard. Yes, even now, for a little while, you'll have to suffer various trials, says the scriptures. Yes, there's suffering, but I think we look at it the wrong way. Look at life for a moment. Maybe you're a parent or a child or a teenager, young adult, senior, or just a regular adult. I ask that you think of something that you've worked hard at. Maybe sports, music, acquiring better skills at work, being a better parent, learning to honor your parents more, whatever. But be honest, like really honest. Was it always fun? If I even think about the children's message, like biking up a hill, was it always fun? No. Yet we say we do it for fun. Was there never pain? Did it take any sacrifices? Did you have to give something up to be good at something else? Was there ever level of frustrations? Were you ever disappointed in yourself when you failed? Let's be honest. The genuineness of your faith, which is much more precious than pure gold, than winning the World Series, the Stanley Cup, the job promotion, being on that sports team, than dating that boy or girl, is tested by fire. But you ask, why? Why? Well, just to be very plain, we have no business talking out of both sides of our mouths. How dare we? Being a follower of Christ, you will be tested to see if your faith is for real. Just like showing up for a recital to test if your musical skills are for real, or your sports practice, see if your physical abilities are for real. Let's be real. Why can your physical life be tested and not your faith life? That's hypocrisy. The rigorous activity that athletes go through, the repetitive pain of playing those musical notes over and over again to grow stronger and to strengthen our ability, But when it comes to our spiritual life, that's different? No, it's not. When your faith is not put to exercise or being tested or pushed to the limits, then your faith will not be strengthened. There's a scary statement in this text that we cannot avoid. See, the genuineness of your faith is being tested by fire that is perishable. However, a few verses earlier, it states that the protection of our inheritance is kept by the power of God. But how? Through faith. So what happens if our faith is not tested or does not prove to be genuine? Then it simply implies that it's not protected by the power of God. It is the power of God that does the protecting, but it is through faith. How often do we have opportunity to strengthen our faith and instead we strengthen our physical ability? Maybe at one time, or maybe we think at one time, we were much more legalistic about our attending worship or reading scriptures, attending church education classes, memorizing scriptures, but we did it to strengthen our faith. To strengthen our faith so that it could pass the test of its genuineness when the test came. And trust me, the test will come. The test comes, and may it prove to be found to result in praise, in glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. But today, we only go to worship sometimes when there is no sporting events, no work event, no family gathering. We only go to church education classes if our agendas are clean and we feel like it. How important is it for you to strengthen your faith? How important is it for you to exercise your faith? Think about it. Will your faith pass the test of genuineness when it goes through the fire? And the text says, or the text is in the positive. The genuineness of your faith, the very realness of your faith will be found in result. It's positive. To praise, to glory, to honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Have confidence in that. It's a yes. Although we do not see him, you love him. Even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you're receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. If you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you will be saved. You are receiving the outcome of your faith. However, do not let your faith get unfit, because it is through faith that is held secure. Strengthen it, exercise it, so that it'll be always ready for the time, for the test. See, we hear stories of dramatic situations when people save other people in times of need. They did this because they were trained to do this. They practiced hard every day. Whether it's police officers, firefighters, correctional officers, airplane pilots, or whatever. Each day they went out and they practiced for just that one time. When their skills would be needed. Are you doing the same with your faith life? You have received the victory. It's yours. And it can't be taken away. So now go. Strengthen that genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that though perishable, is tested by faith, may result in praise, in glory, in honor, when Jesus Christ is revealed. I would like to invite the worship team forward. Who could imagine? Who could imagine? Can you imagine? Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless, boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken. We are forgiven. The King of Kings, he calls me his own. I'm his. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. And therefore, we sing hallelujah, praise the one who sets me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.